Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Hopefully you had a good long weekend. I know it wasn't scorching hot. Nobody's coming back to work with a sunburn today. A few people might have still toque marks on their head. I mentioned we sat out Saturday night and had a fire out in Abernethy while we were out there. And sitting in the backyard, we had toques and mitts on. But we wanted to say it's kind of a long weekend tradition. My brother and sister-in-law came over and we sit and have a visit. It was just, boy, it was chilly. Chilly this year. I know we swung down by the cabin on the weekend as well. And there's few people out putting docks in the water, but they were dressed up as well. It was definitely a cool weekend, but hopefully you were able to, if you're seating, you were plugging through this weekend. You might be stopped today, though. We've got some showers that are rolling through the province. If you look at the radar, it shows we're going to have pretty much showers off and on throughout the biggest part of the day today. Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I've mentioned this to you before. We have a group of us that get together one Saturday a month. We go for breakfast on Saturday morning at 8:30. And every month we bring in someone else as if you'll call them a keynote speaker as you're sitting around having bacon and eggs. But it's basically just an opportunity. Some weeks we've got 15 people. Some weeks we've got 30. To talk about different issues that are going on, anything from crime and safety to economic development. And this was the conversation that happened just a couple of Saturdays ago. Frank Hart came in and talked to the group. Frank has had a long career. He's worked in a variety of different places, actually started in finance with the government of Saskatchewan in the 70s. He went into private business, did some consulting, became a partner with KPMG. He took a secondment as the Deputy Minister of Economic Development for the province. He was recruited as the CEO of Crown Investments Corp and president of numerous companies, Electronic Data Systems, Greystone Managed Investments. In fact, he was at Greystone as they transitioned through the purchase through TD Bank, and one of the founders of Protein Industries Canada. In fact, he's the interim CEO of that organization now. And at the end of his talk, I said, Frank, that's too good to just let that go on a Saturday morning in a cafe with 30 people in the room. How would you like to come on the show? And here he is, Frank Hart. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here, Frank, and we appreciate you giving the time. When you chatted with us at Nikki's Cafe in Regina on that Saturday a couple weeks ago, you started by saying, basically, I'm going to talk about what needs fixing in Canada and how ag can play a role in that. How has your life brought you to the point where you are right now on those two topics?
Well, other than the 5 years I spent in Toronto running the big tech company, agriculture, the other 45 years of my career has been in Saskatchewan, and you can't go very far without bumping into agriculture anywhere in Saskatchewan. Right. So it's always been kind of around. But I would say the kind of pivotal piece has been this role in Protein Industries Canada. So I was one of a group of business leaders from Western Canada that sort of decided, look, we got to get together and dial up agriculture innovation as a pathway forward. And so we did that. We were successful in winning a bid and getting, quite a bit of money out of the federal government, but we've basically doubled or tripled that money with private investment. So we've put $600 million into ag innovation, and you see kind of the potential of this industry in Western Canada. And that's what's kind of driven me towards this whole notion that, we're leaving money on the table by exporting too much seed and not processing enough of it here.
Well, and that's where I want to get to, is that value add. You did a very good job of talking about that. But you started off your chat talking about Canada's GDP. It's on the decline. It has been for a while. What does this benchmark tell us about our problems? And basically, what are some of the things that you think have led to this decline?
Yeah, so this has really been happening since about 2000, I would say. And we heard a lot about this in the election campaign recently, the federal one. I mean, our GDP is not been growing at, up to 2000, it would average 4% a year. Since then, it's about half that or less, right? Labor productivity, we've fallen behind the U.S. in a big way. We're like 30,000 per worker in Canada below the U.S. productivity levels. Canada was the sixth most productive economy in the world in, 1970. Now we've fallen to 18. So there's a lot of, this kind of problem that it was talked about. And then, various kind of political parties have different approaches to how to address that issue. But, it's not rocket science. I mean, there's kind of three things that have driven this. One is we process or we export too much of our raw commodities unprocessed. So we leave a lot of value on the table every time we put a boatload of seed on a boat to go to someplace else. Mm-hmm. The second one is our businesses don't invest in productivity improvement per worker at the same pace of the U.S. companies. So they would be like 50% of level of investment in machinery and equipment per worker. And then the other thing is, and this is sort of the protein industry's Canada piece, is that we, you know, it's not that we're not inventive people in Canada, but mm-hmm. we don't commercialize the investments here. So if you took those three things and fixed them, you could fix a lot of the fundamental problems. And so that's the journey we're on. And what I've figured out is agriculture is a sleeping giant. It's been ignored too long. It has huge mm-hmm. potential. And that's really the kind of evangelistic mission I'm on, is to try to convince people that we got to step up our game in agriculture. Because it's one of the West's best pathways to greater prosperity.
Saskatchewan leader Frank Hart is joining me, interim CEO of Protein Industries Canada. You said ag needs to be viewed as the transformative bright spot. In fact, many of Canada's issues could be considered tailwinds for agriculture. What did you mean by that?
Well, first of all, if you look at productivity, which we talked about a minute ago, agriculture has been the most productive that had the most productivity improvement of any sector, like by orders of magnitude. So 1960 to today, ag productivity on the farm's gone up 680%, almost sevenfold. Compare that to oil and gas, it's like maybe doubled, right?
Right.
And so it's a big factor in terms of, and you just think about what a farm was like in 1960 and what it's like today, and you can see how that productivity's improved. So in terms of improving labor productivity, it's shown the way.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that, there's 3 billion more people coming on the planet by 2050 or something like that. That's a lot of food.
Yep.
climate change is, all the models I've seen sort of tend to favor the northern hemisphere. The southern hemisphere gets drier, except for maybe the southern tip of Australia. And the equator gets volatile because you put more CO2 in the air, holds more moisture. We know what moisture and warm weather does for storms in, mm-hmm. in Saskatchewan in the summertime. So just, you'll get drier, you'll get wetter, you'll get windier, you'll get floods, you'll get droughts, all that sort of stuff. So the food production pressure is going to come to the northern hemisphere, and Western Canada is a big region in that play.
Right. I'm curious, when you talk about productivity in agriculture, Frank, it has gone up. You said it exponentially over the last, let's even look at the last two decades.
Right.
Is there room for it to continue to grow? And because we're going to talk about the value add piece, but is there room for us to continue to increase productivity, or have we done the big spurt in terms of growth?
Well, I mean, the big play is going to be plant genetics and farming practices. So that's where a lot of the productivity improvements happened in terms of machinery.
Right.
You produce a lot for very little labor input today relative mm-hmm. to what used to in agriculture. I don't think we've seen the end of the game in terms of what seed genetics can do in terms of yield per acre. Like if you looked at some of the droughts in the 80s, that we had as compared to, say, 2021, and the yields were much better. That's all plant genetics. That's just improving the seed quality and right. being able to withstand drought. We haven't reached the end of that yet. And, there's a lot of application of artificial intelligence, I think, that's still to come. But the big lift is going to be in the processing area. That's mm-hmm. where most of the economic gain is going to come from.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about value add. When we were sitting around the breakfast table the other day, you gave a peas example. Can you share with us how the value add has lots of room to grow in our province, in our country?
Yeah, and it's a great illustration that a buddy of mine, Murad Al-Khatib, who is known as the lentil king or the pulse king in the world, kind of uses, and I've sort of borrowed it from him. But it just shows you that we're probably somewhere between where we are and 10 times the potential if we think about this. So if you take a ton of yellow peas, which are, there's 4 million of those grown or field peas grown in Saskatchewan or largely Western Canada, mostly in Saskatchewan a year. I haven't checked the markets lately, but say like $350 a ton or something like that, you'd sell it for. The broker would, basically handle the sale, the transportation, logistics. They'd add, they'd get $35 or $40 a ton. So they've added 10% of the value just by shipping it as commodity. Now, if you split and dehull those peas, they're now worth $100 more a ton. If you fractionate them into protein, starch, and fiber, they're worth $300 more a ton. And if you deflavor that flour, it's worth $4,000 a ton. So, you know, you've gone anywhere from doubling to tenfold the increase. And so somewhere in between there is kind of where we could head. Now, if you just applied that to peas, so 4 million tons, you know, you export those as commodity, that's worth a $1.4, $1.5 billion. If you did all of that value added, you get $14 billion. So somewhere between $1.4 and $14 billion on peas alone. And peas are only like 5 or 6% of the crop. So
right. You
start to do the math. I mean, pretty soon you get to adding, you know, somewhere between the economy the size of Saskatchewan and Alberta's in terms of the West, right, which is very significant. Now, I don't think we'll get all the way to there, but,
yeah. You
know, there's a lot of room to grow, basically, mm-hmm. And that's the stuff that gets left on the table when it goes on a boat to China.
So we're chatting with Frank Hart, Interim CEO of Protein Industries Canada. We're talking about some of the money being left on the table in terms of value add, predominantly in the ag sector, but I'm assuming that this exists elsewhere as well. So we'll talk about that with Frank when we come back. And I also want to talk about, okay, how do we get there? Right. If we want to add value, if we want to, you worded it something like we export things too close to the ground. Did you say that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're selling our commodities, but we're not doing the value add piece. What do we need to do? What are the ingredients that need to come into play to incentivize that growth for us, the value add growth here in the province and in Canada as a whole? That's what we'll talk about when we come back with Frank Hart here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning. Thanks so much for listening. Evan Bray joined by Frank Hart, a leader in economic development in our province. I mentioned interim CEO of Protein Industries Canada, but you actually just handed that off, right?
In January of this year.
Yeah. So we were talking about peas. You gave an example with peas, and we're talking about the value add that there's room for when it comes to something like field peas. You used that as an example. Yeah. I noticed we had a text on the line that says, but can't you grow those only every so many years in terms of a crop rotation? We see that being built into crop rotations in the province.
Yeah, I mean, the standard practice now is cereals, canola, pulses, basically. So peas fit somewhere in that pulse group. And we produce about a steady 4 million metric tons a year. So maybe a farmer is not growing it every third year, but some other farmer is, so you're still getting your 4 million tons.
Right. When you talk about the room for value add, and I want to get to how we do that, but is that consistent with most crops? I mean, canola crush plants, we've seen, it's been a topic of conversation. Are we leaving value add kind of money on the table in most of our ag sector?
Well, canola is a good example because there has been quite a bit of investment in crushing most recently, and there would have been more, I think, had the regulations been more certain around clean fuels and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But in any event, you know, there's still a lot of value we can extract from the meal, which is, you know, usually just used as dairy cattle feed today. But you can pull protein out of that and feed aquaculture, and it replaces fish meal very well at a much lower carbon footprint and about two-thirds the price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole opportunity in canola meal. And so I could go on in cereals and on, but it does extend to all crops.
Sure. So how do we incentivize this value add? How do we make this happen in the province, in the country?
Yeah, so we've looked a lot at this at Protein Industries Canada, and there are basically four things that are sort of inhibiting us. First of all, these plants are not cheap to build. I mean, the Cargill plant, I'm guessing, is probably $800-900 million, the one that's being built in the east, the west edge of the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, there'll be smaller plants than that, obviously, but it's capital intensive. So, you know, you have to raise big money to put these things together. And access to capital has been a challenge. And so, construction costs are high in Canada. So, you know, I've been encouraging the federal government to put in a, you know, pretty aggressive investment tax credit. The province has done this in Saskatchewan. Alberta's done it. It's non-refundable, which I would make refundable, but, you know, split hairs. I mean, we just need to incent it through capital investment tax incentives. We need to pull larger capital pools together to find a ways to get the pension funds investing in this, but that's kind of point one. The second one is we need scale-up infrastructure. So a lot of these, like 95% of our food and beverage companies are small to medium size. And, you know, to produce for a global market demand, they need to, first of all, get a big order from a client someplace to get an offtake to finance their factory. So they need a place to build first. There's regulations in Canada that need to get improved. Like it takes us probably three or four times as long to get a new food approved in Canada as it does in the U.S. And we just need to modernize our regulatory system. Mm-hmm. And then the last is, you know, a lot of food companies are looking for new ingredients. They want cleaner labels. They want more protein in it, all that sort of stuff. But they got to take the stuff out of their mix today and replace it with stuff that we would produce. And so that's a 2 or 3 or 4 year process, and it's expensive. And so we need to help companies find ways to penetrate those markets. And so those four things taken together would lift the boat.
Does it start with government? How much of this falls on the shoulders of regulation and policy, whether it's provincial and federal?
Well, I think it does require a lot of government leadership. And this is why I'm sort of hopeful, you know, given the situation Canada finds itself in terms of the trade tariffs issue with the U.S. and realignment of global, you know, so we need to reduce our dependency on the U.S. But, you know, the population growth is all in Southeast Asia, India, Africa. That's where the future for food demand is. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be pivoting to Asia in a much bigger way. And you know, what I've found when I've been to Asia is that they really look at Canada and say, like, they're just blown away by the scale of our farming and what we can do here. But they say, like, why don't you add the value to it? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of on us to get that done. But it does take some government leadership in terms of these four areas, and I think industry will respond to the right signals.
You mentioned on the Saturday at the breakfast how your peas example, we export the peas from here and then we buy the protein powder from another country, but all the work that does in between, we're not getting the benefit from.
Yeah, I mean, we export the peas to China and they take the starch and use it to make noodles, and then we get the protein back from them. And what people in Asia said, why don't you do all the stuff there? Like, I mean, we couldn't do what the Chinese want to do, but at their scale, because, you know, we can't supply noodles to China, but competitively, but we certainly can for the Philippines, Vietnam, mm-hmm. Singapore, Southeast Asia, India, that sort of thing. And food ingredient companies I met over there in November said they would like to invest here because they think it makes more sense.
We're pretty much out of time with Frank Hart here this morning, but do we have the skilled workforce to support this value add increase that we are proposing?
No, I mean, we have some good, you know, institutions that are billing talent, you know, SAS Poly, U of S, the food center, that kind of thing. But we would need to bring more food processing technical people in for sure.
Right.
But they're around there in the world, and, you know, people are always interested in moving to Canada if there's a good job.
Mm-hmm. Frank, this has been an outstanding chat. I appreciate you coming by. I know economic development is a passion for yours. You've done it in a variety of ways in our province and in our country. I hope we can have you on. It'd be great to have you and Murad on someday. Murad's been on the show. Maybe we'll have to get you both in here.
Yeah, we'll have to try to get a word in edgewise, because he's even more passionate about this than I am.
Good stuff. Well, thanks, Frank. Appreciate you coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
Frank Hart, leader in economic development in our province, and we will be heading to open phones momentarily here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.